With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, away we go on this Tuesday. Busy day. Brian Poles, meeting the media for the last time ahead of the start of the draft on Thursday. We're going to carry it live. We're your home for Bears football. So listen live right here when it starts. I hear a lot of commotion in the background. Chris Bleck is monitoring the happenings up at Halas. As soon as Ryan Poles steps to the podium, we'll take you up there so you can hear his final thoughts. Maybe he'll divulge the full plan. You're going, no, I'm just kidding. But this is it. We're getting down to it. The draft starts Thursday. We've got great coverage all week. We had an awesome conversation with Field Yates yesterday. I saw Mel Kiper's got his final rankings out, his positional rankings. Not a mock draft, but his final positional, final player rankings, I should say, Yerk. I think he did like the top 150. It's a tough exercise, man. Brad Biggs releasing mock draft 4.0, Biggsy's mock 4.0 on the Tribune's website this morning. I saw that. And everybody else that covers the Bears and covers the NFL, I think relieved that we're finally here, but cramming in a lot of work ahead of the start.
How many mocks
Thursday.
Can we cover? How many thousands of mocks?
It's like it's now is enough. Let's just do
everybody's
it.
Everybody's final mock, we're going to have to grade them 2 out of 32. You know, it's going to be ridiculous.
You might only get 2 out of the first 32. Yet.
Yeah, 2 out of 32.
You know?
Then the guys that do the mocks the rest of the way out, it's almost comical.
Right.
Comicus.
So as soon as poll starts to meet the media again, we'll take you there.
Beautiful.
Yurko said during the tease, the NBA games last night, the NBA playoffs started kind of with it was kind of a dud start up until that OKC game on Sunday night. And it was right. At least the last game of the weekend was good. Last night was fantastic. Yeah. And like you always say.
Two good games.
They were great. Yeah, and the first game I didn't even see, to be honest. I did not see any of the Cavs magic, and I don't think it was particularly close. The second two games were fantastic. The home teams continue to win. The home teams are 11-0 straight up to start the NBA postseason. But they were great. There's a lot to sort of unpack from, I hate that term, I'm sorry to say that.
But unpack it,
but we're going to unpack it anyway, from the second and final game, just the wild comebacks and injured players and refs not paying attention and whatever they're doing in the replay center and AD and LeBron pretty annoyed, especially AD post game last night about the way they choked that game away. They just can't beat Denver. That's 10 straight losses.
Ten in a row.
And I believe it's like 7 of the last 8 in Denver. They can't beat them. And if not last night, when, for crying out loud, when you had a 20-point lead?
Ian Cunningham is talking right now. Polls will be after.
I don't know. Do we need to listen to Ian?
Depends what he says, guys.
Yeah, he's going through the draft process, what they're doing. You want to take a listen to it?
All right. We can talk. We can dive in and listen.
Yeah,
Ian Cunningham, the assistant GM.
Kyle, Jay, George, Miles. Seems like they were in a triple threat position this whole offseason, just with all the travel that we've had to do. They've had to pivot. They've been flexible. Just want to make sure we highlight them. And last but not least, Ashton Washington, our scouting coordinator, does an incredible job of keeping us organized and aligned, as well as our 3 scouting assistants, Keith Earl, Jake Ponikvar, and David Dudek. These guys juggle a lot. We've both been there. It's a tough job. It's a thankless job. But it's been really cool to see their growth this year, and they all have a bright future in this league.
Awesome. Before I open up to questions, just also want to shout this guy out. I am blessed out of my socks to have him by my side through this process. Just especially when you reflect back to the first 2 years getting this thing off the ground, to have a guy like him, it's not a yes man that keeps me in line when I start getting off track. To keep our staff together when I get pulled in different directions. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Ian as well, being there and being an unbelievable partner. So,
thanks, Matt.
Yeah. So we'll open up to questions.
Ryan, you've had such a long process with this. Your pick is not contingent on what anyone else does. You have the top pick. Yep. You've talked throughout publicly as though Caleb is to plan, are you set on making him your quarterback now?
So, unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So, yeah, we know what we're going to do. But everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
What did you learn about him when he came to Dallas and when you took him to dinner with a couple of your vets?
Yeah, I think it just confirmed a lot of the information that we got. Kind of testing where his football understanding is. That part, you know, getting him with the coaches, that was a very positive interaction there. And then getting him with some of our players, that's important to us. We're in a really good place with our culture and our locker room. As much as I can, I want those guys a part of the process of building this team. I trust their feedback. And, you know, I think that chemistry is really important. So that's why we did that.
How did that dinner work specifically? Are you at a different table or are you across the room?
Yeah, I was in a different room.
Different room? And okay.
Brian, does the LeagueNet want you to announce the pick, or is that just your personal MO?
No one's told me, so it's my personal deal. And let's have some excitement on Thursday, right?
You said you wanted to get feedback from your players during from their dinner with Caleb. What was the feedback that you got from them and from the coaches that were?
Yeah, really intelligent guy. Came across as a really good teammate. Easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him, on top of being successful. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive.
Right, I'm sure you guys have identified how many blue players you all feel are available at positions of need if you're in the top nine. And just because you all have the ninth pick, that's probably the most likely scenario that you pick there. But what would be the second most likely option? Would that be to move up for a guy you guys absolutely love or to fall back and get one of those guys?
Yeah, that's hard to answer right now. I think as the draft unfolds, there's going to be some indicators that kind of start to educate us on how we need to move to acquire the top talents in this draft.
If a trade back does kind of become the scenario, is there a threshold where you go, okay, this is too far back to move? We want to kind of stay in this range. Is there a range for you?
Yeah, as I've said in the past, like, we need to count, you know, the players in certain ranges, and that's, you know, we would feel uncomfortable if we got outside of whatever threshold that is. So again, it's kind of depends on the first couple picks and how they move, and we'll kind of count them up and say, you know what, here's the line. We can't go past that.
Do you feel a need to add more picks?
Do you feel
a need to add more picks going in with only four?
No, I feel really good at where we're at. If that happens, that's great. If we have less, that's whatever we need to do to kind of accomplish what we're setting out to do and improve our football team.
Ryan, you said this kind of for both of you guys. You said that Ian is not a yes man. So how does that, if you could share with us a little bit, how that process works if he is vehemently disagreeing with something that you're saying? How do you take it all into account? Or if other voices are saying no, Ryan, what do you take it all into account?
Yeah, take it all into account. You want to answer that question?
I don't know how to answer that. I think it was towards you. I don't know. What does a yes man mean?
Yeah, so I think the big thing is you talk about whatever process you're in, if it's a draft of kind of what your standards are, how you want to operate, what you're looking to accomplish, and you lay that out in some type of it's a conversation, but an outline. And there's always oftentimes there's situations that start to push you outside of what you said you wanted to accomplish, what we all agreed as a coaching staff, a front office, what we want to accomplish. And there's things that happen that start to push you outside those lines. And with all of those things happening, sometimes as a leader, you do get distracted. There are things that kind of pull you outside of maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we need to switch gears. And you need people like Ian, like Flus, like Kevin to say, hey, man, like, we want to accomplish this. We want to stay in these lines. We want to do it this way. And once they kind of see that you're getting off that track, to nudge you back into where you should be. I think I've been fortunate and blessed enough to have the skill set to take in that information, not to take it personal, not to say, well, I'm running the show. Like, it's all about what I want to do. It's listening to people that you trust so that you stay in the lines of doing things that you, how you want to do it and how you want to accomplish your goals.
What do you think the biggest area of needs are still on this team?
The nice thing is from the work that we've done, I feel pretty good about just being flexible. That's why we did that project with kind of some premium positions, with O-line, with D-line, receiver, and all that feedback was outstanding. Like, it gave you a really good feeling. Like, there's different championship caliber teams that have built their teams in different ways. And it really, I think, solidified just those premium positions are important. So that, I'd say, like, those three are there. It matches up with his drafts pretty well.
Ryan, there's a lot fewer underclassmen declaring now than there were, like, 5-6 years ago. How much of that influences your comfort with having four picks and also the comfort to move some of the picks that you did to get Bates and Keenan and the guys that you did?
Yeah, I think we both feel comfortable with how the board set based off of the draft class. Each year is different, right? This year, I think there were, I want to say, 58 juniors that declared. To your point, like, each year is different. So we kind of have to work in the constructs of this year with what we have given to us.
When you look back at the roster that you inherited and that first draft you had, and now here you are in a position where you feel really good about the way the roster is built. And what is the feeling heading into the draft, looking at what you've brought together so far?
Yeah, like, the job's never done, but we have had those conversations, and it does put a smile on your face in terms of the work that we've done. Like, I feel like we've done a good job getting the roster where it is. It makes me feel really fortunate about some of the things that happened to allow us to build the roster maybe a little bit more efficiently than if everything was kind of flat. So it's something to be proud of, but at the same time, you know, the job's not done. I've talked about it before. On paper, it's on paper. Like, you got to play and you got to win games in this league. That's what it comes down to. But we have taken the time just to, for a second, not long, but and we're proud of where we've come from.
How do you all balance the subject? Is the idea of having so few picks, is that, how much does the strength of the current roster play into your comfort level with having that number of picks versus your first couple of years you needed a lot of picks?
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always you know, welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about, the current status of this draft, and then moving forward what next year looks like as well.
When you evaluate your needs at defensive line, how do you weigh the impact of a defensive tackle versus an end? And you said, you know, different teams build in different ways. Was part of your evaluation at that position, okay, who did it by going inside first versus getting an edge rusher first?
Yeah, we've talked about inside and outside. Both are multipliers. Generally speaking, I would say the inside guy has the shortest path to the quarterback. So therefore, like, if you have, and we both have lived with really good elite players that are in the inside, and it changes everything. And it opens up a lot for other teams as well. So yeah, having that interior rush is probably a preference when you have an outside guy. It makes it really difficult to scheme up. So.
Ryan, are you able to shoot the top 30 visit, the one that where Caleb and some of the other guys were there for that dinner? Guys aren't here yet, current players. How did you get guys to come back? Were they volunteering? Was it something that they wanted to be here for? Or was it something that you reached out to them about being a part of?
Yeah, I respect their time. It's off season, so just if they were available and they wanted to, they could do that. There's a good chunk of the roster that stays here, and there's a good group that, you know, disperses around the country to their kind of off season locations, and kind of went through it that way. But there's some guys I had in mind that I think it would be important for sit down with.
Brian, are you able to share how many first round grades that you guys have? And then I guess, like, how do you delineate when you use a top 10 pick outside of the first pick? Like, what does that player have to have to use in order for you to use the ninth pick?
Yeah, I mean, they got to impact the football team from a skill set standpoint. But we always are going to look at some key things when we talk about passion for the game. We talk about coachability, dependability, resilience. Those things are going to be consistent from the first overall pick to, you know, seventh round draft pick. Like, we want guys that have that. We have an indicator we put on their tag. We put a bear head on their tag because, you know, we call them the grizzly, the top bear. They have those traits. So we're always looking to hit those. And obviously the earlier, you know, in the draft, you want to have those. The other thing too is, you know, we had a good conversation with the Hall of Famer that is one of Ian's mentors. And he said, you want the guys in that first round to be the cover of your album. You know, you want those to be the one where everyone can look to that player and be like, all right, what he's made of is what we all need to be a part of. So that's important as well.
In the evaluation process, how do you balance a scenario where maybe you have an opportunity to get the third best prospect at one position versus getting the top prospect at another position?
Say that one more time for me.
Maybe you can get the third best receiver. Maybe you can get the top defensive lineman on your board. How do you balance going about that process in terms of making that decision?
Yeah, that'll come down to all the characteristics that we look like, the skill set, the whole person. We have this long process. Ian and I sit down. We actually sequence the board, one through whatever it is this year, 200, whatever, could be less than that. And we sequence it to kind of sort that part out. So you work your stacks vertically, and then you work horizontal, and you work down the board that way.
Caleb's been very open with his huge goals. Like, what's been your reaction when you've learned that, you know, he wants to, you know, compete with 8 Super Bowls and Tom Brady and all that stuff? Like, what's your reaction when you hear him say stuff like that?
Yeah, I love it. I think we all should have huge goals. We have huge goals here, win multiple championships, and that's what we shoot for. That's you're more intentional when you have these goals that you're shooting. You have to live a certain way. You have to practice a certain way. You have to go about your business a certain way in order to accomplish those. So if everything else is aligned underneath that, that gets me excited.
I know you don't have to wait until Thursday until it becomes official, but you guys only hosted one quarterback on a top 30. Caleb only took one visit to a team. As you go through the homework process, what made you comfortable in going that route of not having some of the other top QBs in here?
Yeah, I would say the different prospects are kind of – the journey to collect all that information is different for everyone. There's guys on our board that are high that didn't come in for a 30 visit, that we've had other touch points. Our networks in the building know the player inside and out that we really, really trust. You have the combine. There's different kind of touch points. You don't necessarily have to bring everybody in on a visit.
Ian, you've been a popular candidate around the league in the hiring cycles, but you've stayed here. What has it meant to you to be part of the experience of theoretically now completing the rebuild project?
It's funny. We've been talking about that a little bit. You know, personally, just extremely grateful for the opportunity. Not many people in any walk of life get to work with arguably one of their best friends, right? And so for me to be able to work alongside him, for him to trust me, we all knew that, you know, this was his goal. I have a similar goal. But it means everything for me just to be able to work with him every single day. I know my opportunity will come. It's been fun. It's been a fun ride, and looking forward to this weekend to kind of see things through.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I was in. Who's the Hall of Famer? I was thinking the same thing. You heard that question in the background. Who's one of Ian Cunningham's mentors that's a Hall of Famer? So he's been in Philly. Where else was Ian? Did he follow Andy from Philly to KC for a little bit, or was he just Philly?
He's got a mentor.
I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, wait, who's the Hall of Famer? Bill Polian. It's got to be Bill Polian. Bill Polian talks to all these guys.
Polian?
Ugh.
He's a Hall of Famer. Okay, so it was... No, I'm sorry. So it was Baltimore to Philly. Okay. So it was Baltimore to Philly for Cunningham. Oh, you know who it probably was? Like in Baltimore, it was probably like Ozzie Newsome, right? Is that
could
who
be.
It was?
Yeah.
Probably Ozzie Newsome.
Could be Ozzie.
Yeah. I wondered the same thing, though, and then some Ozzie of the reporters Newsome. Was asking. Yeah.
By the way, in the background, I was still listening we faded it down here on the air. They cut out the mic, so I couldn't hear the answer.
Damn it.
I couldn't hear what was said in the room once that... Yeah, once it was over, it was over.
I was thinking the same thing. All right, a couple things caught my ear. I want to bring it up to you guys when we come back. Anything you heard that you want to talk about, 312-332-3776. Caleb's all ball, he said. He's all ball. That's good. It's Carmen in New York. We'll be right back.
Working from home? We're back in the office. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Yes.
So crazy right now. You just heard Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham meet the media. That's the last time they'll talk until... What they'll do? Do they do a post round one? I feel like they'll do a post round one late Thursday.
Because of the two
and then
picks
after the draft,
right? Because of the two picks, I think they're going to have to react to what they've done
right,
that day
on Thursday night.
Yeah,
maybe
Thursday night. I think they'd have to do, you know, address this is what we've done.
Next week there'll be press conferences to introduce Caleb and the ninth pick and the other draft pick. A couple things stood out. You know, the four draft picks and a lot of things could be said right now just to continue to. I don't know. You want to sort of influence other executives, right? You want to try to put certain ideas in their head ahead of a very important night and weekend coming up. But he reiterated multiple times, Yurk, that he's comfortable with the four picks. And it's so different going into their third draft than it was when he got here when they had to turn the roster over. And we'll bring it back and we'll play it for you a little bit later. But he said, this might not be verbatim. I was jotting it down quickly. But something to the effect like this, Yurko. Ryan Pohl said, it's going to be hard when someone asked about the four picks. It's going to be hard to make this team. Sure, you always want more swings late, but it doesn't make you panic because of where we are. It's going to be hard to make this team. I mean, he seems legitimately comfortable with the fact that there's only four. If there's a situation that presents itself where it's too good to be true, maybe he does add more capital. But it does feel different than those first two drafts where he had... Gosh, what was it, 9 and 11? Does that sound right, Eric? It was like 9 and 11 draft picks, wasn't it, in the first two?
I believe so.
Something like that? I mean, yeah. It was a lot. I'll double check real quick here. It was a lot of picks. And he seems more comfortable because of the work they've done on this roster. He also had more praise for Caleb. I mean, they've had a lot of effusive praise. He talked about the idea of having the teammates go to dinner with him. He said that he's respectful of guys in their offseason, and he made it known, if you're available, if you'd like, to be part of that, be part of it. He said that was because they wanted to see how he interacted with his teammates. He said he's all ball. The Hollywood stuff, he doesn't worry about. He said he's all ball. He wants to work. We love ball. And he said he sort of asked himself the question. He said, you know, does he fit our culture right now? And Poles followed up his own question with the answer, all signs point to yes, that he fits their culture. He danced around the whole, why was he the only quarterback that was brought in? I didn't quite get that answer, I don't think. But
he just gave you some BS.
We know why he was the only one brought
other
in.
Other touch points is what he said.
Yeah, like it was something about touch points. Yeah. I didn't follow that one. I got to be honest, Chris. I was like, wait,
other
what?
Touch points.
What happened?
All just misinformation. Not misinformation. It's just that we're going to lead you down the path and whatever path. It'll meander a little bit. And then it'll just finish into the meadow and that's it. That's nothing. We'll just take your question and we'll just kind of talk about it a little bit and we'll go into nothingness. What's important when he gets here is how he plays. Nobody's going to care about whether he had breakfast or lunch or dinner with anybody. All that is going to matter is how he plays. So when they get him in here and they start the process of getting him acquainted with the offense, all that matters is how he plays, period. Whether he's good guy, bad guy, he likes to have dinner with his friends or he doesn't like to have dinner with his friends. You are just looking for how he's going to play, and hopefully he's going to play as the best quarterback in Chicago Bears history, period.
Right.
That's what's going to matter.
All that matters is like how
everything pre-draft is all fluff and all BS.
Yeah.
And how he plays is ultimately the most important and really the only important thing there is.
Like
beforehand, you got to find the superlatives and the thises and the thats and the this.
How does he interact with his teammates? How does he lead? How does he get better, right? How does he learn? How does he get better? How does he play? That's it. That's what this is going to come down to.
Importantly, is how he plays.
Of course. Of course.
That's it. How he plays. You judge people on how they play.
Yeah.
Period.
21 players in their first two drafts.
21,
11
Chris?
In the first year.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. So I knew it was a boatload in those first couple years. He's down to four now.
Wasn't there a quote before the combine that he said he would be comfortable with 25 players in his first three seasons?
I do believe he said that. He, like, added it up, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, yeah. It's not just only four this year. It's that they'll draft 25 players in his first three seasons.
Yeah, that's. I think you're right. He did say something like that. They had the number on the head, conveniently enough, and that's why they seem to be comfortable with the picks they have now. I have a would you rather for you guys. I know we're not the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Thank God.
But a good question was that.
Here we go.
Well, it would be duplicitous. It would be duplicitous.
I have a would you rather. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw it at you guys coming up next because a good question was asked of Ryan Poles. And one that he can't really answer in the moment or is tough to answer in the moment, but it always comes up when we talk about drafts. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm always interested around draft time, like in the debates, do you take the best player or do you take, you know, the need that you need to address the most? Somebody asked about player rankings and what you might have available to you when it's your turn at nine. So Right. Here's the would you rather. Here's the Waddle and Sylvie would you rather.
Go ahead. Would you rather?
Would you rather have your second or third best rated wide receiver or your most highly rated defensive player? Because the Bears probably are going to be presented with that opportunity.
Yeah, I'd take the wide receiver.
You would?
Yes.
I think I would too.
Yes.
Not I think I would. I would. Are we wrong? What does a GM do? What should you do?
Here's a scenario for you, a real scenario. There's a cornerback, right? A corner. That's available. He's the top corner in the draft. He's available at nine, or you can take a tackle, left tackle, the third left tackle at nine. Say it's 12. Say you take the top corner at 12.
The top corner or the third best left tackle?
Third best left tackle. In that situation, with what I know in my secondary, I take the third best left tackle.
Really?
Yeah, because I got a second-year corner.
Oh, you're talking about Bears specific.
Bears specific. I got a second-year.
Gotcha.
Corner on my right side. I got a guy I just paid, right?
Gotcha.
My corner position is done.
Gotcha.
My left tackle position is a little bit of a question mark. So what do you think I'd rather do?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather get the left tackle. I mean, that's a real need. And yes, I would go for the real need in that situation. It's not absolute all the time, but every situation comes
up.
You take a look at what you want to do.
Right. Chris, what would you do?
That's it.
I might have missed this part of the question. Who's rated higher overall?
I'm just saying, like, let's say in the Bears, and we're doing hypotheticals.
Yeah.
Let's say in the Bears board, Dallas Turner's the best defensive player in the draft. Roma Dunze is the third best receiver in the draft. Both are there at nine. Who would you rather them? Who would you take? Like, let's say you're the GM and you rank Roma Dunze as the third best wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn comes up and you're like, but Dallas Turner is our highest rated defensive player. Who would you take?
I'm not trying to skip on the question. I guess my logic would be if you're constantly going for a need that you want, you're taking lesser players overall. So I would go with the player who's ranked the highest on my board. So if it is Dallas Turner, I go Dallas Turner.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I see what you're saying. You're saying actually who's higher on the big board.
The philosophy that I would want to avoid would be, well, I need a wide receiver. So even if he's the third guy, I think he could be a star. I don't want to pass up talent that's higher rated.
And you're going straight, like, how do you rank your top 50 players? Yeah,
so
I get
Dallas
it. Okay.
Turner, yeah. So to answer your question, I would go with Dallas Turner.
Okay.
I think the fan in me would love to see Roma Dunze.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to figure out who's going to be a star.
Yeah. That's the hard part of all this. So here, you want, speaking of that, like, Chris's exercise is maybe even more precise because this is how teams do it. They're going to rank the players, just like Mel did.
But according to him, according to Chris just now,
yeah,
he's not ranking on who's going to be a star. He's predicating it on what the pre-draft ratings are.
Yes. Pre-draft ratings.
Now, it's still a gamble on whether either one of them becomes a star.
Sure. Yeah,
but according to you, you're sticking with your philosophy. You know that if you take Dallas Turner, you know that you're sticking with your philosophy that you've taken the best player on the draft board, even though it's not a position of need.
Yeah. And, and to Carmen's point, if Dallas Turner is the best, the highest rated defensive player, but on the big board, he's rated 15th.
Right.
You go wide receiver.
Which
you
could
take
be.
The third wide receiver. You take that player.
Yes, which he very well could be. So here, you want Mel's latest? This is not a mock draft. This is Mel's rankings. This is similar to what teams
rankings.
Are going to do.
Right.
How they rank their
rankings.
Players. Just rankings. Caleb Williams, number one, best player in the draft. Jaden Daniels, number two. Marvin Harrison, number three. And this is where what Chris was talking about comes into play exactly. He's the second receiver, but he's the fourth best player, according to Mel Kiper, Rome Odunze. Malik Nabers, 5. Drake May, 6. Brock Bowers, 7. Joe Alt, 8. Dallas Turner, coincidentally enough, 9. Again, this isn't a mock, but Dallas Turner, 9. Fatanu, 10. Latham, 11. Latu, 12. Fashanu, 13. Cooper DeJean, how about that? 14. J.J. McCarthy, 15. Boy, that seems ambitious. But
so you go with Odunze.
If
that's the decision.
That's
you go
it. And it just made it for you. There you go. 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to ring us up. 2 days away from the draft. Carl's in Dixon. What's up, Carl?
Amatricana. How are you?
Amatricana?
Yes. Amatricana.
What's up?
That's your nickname.
Thank you.
So I got some, we're coming up on draft day. I got some couple of GM hypotheticals I want to run by you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first offer I got, and just let me finish. I kind of know, like, there's probably going to be some, like, pushback. But if you're at number 9, and here's the deal, the Vikings want to move up to 9, but I want to give you the first round number 23 overall pick. And we'll give Minnesota our Carolina second rounder next year. So we move back 2 spots. Now we got a second first round pick in number 23 because Rome Odunze was on the board and Minnesota said they really want him, or Alt, if that's your guy. So we're giving up on Alt. We're giving up on Odunze. We're only moving back 2 spots where we can still get Fuaga Fashanu or Verse, if that's our guy. And now we have a 23 pick that we can address with maybe a possible center, someone like Fatanu. And possibly even get other offers. Are you taking the deal and giving up on Alter or Odunze and giving him to Minnesota in exchange to have the number 11 and number 23 overall pick?
I'm going to say no. Yerk?
I like it. Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I like it.
Okay. And what are you looking to do with that?
I hate the idea of Rome Odunze and Justin Jefferson, assuming he's still there in Minnesota. That's scary. Oof.
So what are you looking to do with 11 and 23? You still looking for trade down offers? If not, you sticking with the defense or offense with the number 11 pick?
I'm taking a player at number 11, and the odds are he's going to be the offensive tackle to solidify the left tackle position.
Probably your second best tackle available, right? Or depending on how you've graded these players, probably the second guy after Alt, right? Don't you think, Eric? He's probably still there at 11.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fashanu.
I think he likes Yurko likes your proposal.
Fuagu, Fautanu. All the greats.
Hey, Carbonara. So down there at 23. Now we got the 23 pick.
I thought you said Amatriciana. Now I'm Carbonara. I mean, geez.
No. Jerko is Carbonara.
Oh, he's Carbonara. Got it. Okay.
And Carmen DeFalco is Amatriciana.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are your nicknames I give you guys when I talk to you about my dad. I do. Carbonara was sitting there talking about the 80s again.
Who am I taking at 23, you're asking?
Yeah. Are we going
Chop
center
Robinson.
From
Robinson.
Chop Robinson at 23.
Chop Robinson.
That's not a bad plan there, though, Yerk. I got to give it to you. You came up with a couple of likely possibilities if they were to execute something like that. Carl, did you have another hypothetical you wanted to throw at us?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay,
you know, regardless of whether Atlanta gets disqualified a pick,
mm-hmm.
let's say the 7th pick is up and Alt's available and Tennessee is willing to move down because they want to get assets. They want to blah, blah, blah. Are you willing to move up from 9 to 7 to get Alt, but Tennessee wants to do a swap with you next year where they get your Carolina second round pick in exchange for a third? So we're going to move back around and they're going to gain around.
I'm not moving up
draft.
One position. I'm not moving up one position.
Carl,
if Atlanta loses their draft choice, we'll find out about that before the draft.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. No, I'm not moving up one. Tennessee doesn't want to take him. They want to drop back and say, okay, you can have him. Or, you know, in their scenario, then it means somebody else is trying to move up to number seven to get Joe Alt. Okay, in that scenario, hey, we're taking phone calls. We're taking phone calls. If you want to get this guy, you've got to trade with us. I'd say no. I'd sit there at eight, and I'd draft who I want to draft.
Okay. We can take more hypotheticals. Tis the season. We got 2 days until the start of the draft. Justin's in Oak Brook. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make a comment about the polls. Press conference that he just had. So I'm kind of unbiased. I don't really mind what they do. If they move up, they stay pat, move back, whatever whatever Poles feels is best for the team. But something I noticed is in a question that they asked him about potentially moving back, he had said something, but then also threw in, or if we have fewer picks. And the question was more based towards going back, and for him to throw in potentially having fewer picks and the comments of do what we have to do to get superstars on this team, my gut's telling me if he wants to move up. I don't know if they will, but I feel like if the cards fall the way they're supposed to in his eyes, he may move up to get Harrison or somebody like that.
Yeah.
I hope I hope he's not morphing into Ryan Pace in front of my eyes.
Yeah, there was always a lot of moving up.
Saw too much
Pace.
Of that crap and a lack of draft assets.
Yeah.
You build your team through the draft. You fine-tune your team in free agency.
I'm not all that keen on starting to part with future draft picks. You're right, Yerk.
Yeah, I don't play that game.
In a draft class very rich with wide receiver talent, like if Marvin Harrison's the guy you're identifying, the guy you want, in a class that's very, very rich in talent at that position, I don't think you want to start jeopardizing your future draft capital. Even though he says he's content with four now and they like the place they're in and they had 21, as we told you, in the first 2 years when they had to turn the roster over, that doesn't mean that you want fewer picks going forward. And I think my hunch is, Yerk, if you looked historically at the franchises that do well, whether it's in the draft and usually build some sort of sustained winner, they're not doing it with fewer draft picks. They're doing it with more. That'd be my hunch anyway. We could fact check that. 312-332-3776. A lot of draft talk. Jesse Rogers a little bit later on. The Lunch Rush during the 1 o'clock hour. It's Kerman and Yerk. We'll be right back.
Working from home or back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, hopefully you're watching on YouTube today and every day. And follow our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe to the Carmen and Yurko channel. Just search at Carmen and Yurko or go to youtube.com/@Carmen and Yurko. And all this week, YouTube and Twitch viewing is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's go sports bar. That's where we're going. Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge, right by Seven Bridges on Route 53. That's where we're going to be doing the show Friday to wrap the week, recapping round one, getting ready for the rest of the draft, talking Bears, talking NFL. We'll be live starting at noon. Waddle and Sylvie will follow us. So 6.5 straight hours, Yerk. At Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge. It's a football feast, my friend.
Exciting times.
Yes, it is.
Friday is going to be very exciting.
It most certainly is.
We have a reaction to day one. Oh.
Let's go to Joe in Texas. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Joe?
Joe.
Joe?
Hello. Joe.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
We're great. How are you?
Good. Quick question. You guys agree that we have been a defensive team for the longest time, right?
Mostly.
Right?
Yeah.
So what I don't understand is why don't we load up with as many offensive weapons as possible to make sure that we have the best situation for Caleb and be able to move the future of the franchise?
Well, I think they're trying. I think they're trying that, Joe. I mean, you traded for DJ Moore. You traded for Keenan Allen. You extended Cole Kmet because you believe in him. you drafted Darnell Wright last year. I believe they're trying that. They took a swing on Tyler Scott. Hopefully they can fix that.
Yeah.
They're probably going to go receiver again at some point here with one of these four picks this weekend.
Keep them on the ground.
I think they're trying.
The hot thing is they might want to trade down. If they trade down, then going after the defensive tackle out of Texas.
Byron Murphy. Yeah, that's getting 4'8", 7'40",
some speed, some explosion there. Shorter than me, 6 foot and change. You know, like 6'0" and change.
Two picks at that spot last year. Yeah. Go right back to it. No, if he's a dominant three technique, so be it.
If that's what they believe, I think he's more of a nose tackle and not a three technique.
Oh, he's, okay.
I think he's more of a nose tackle, would be paired up with Dexter.
And then Dexter would be your three technique.
He'd be a guy that plays over the center. He's got to plays over the center, then you float Dexter out.
Okay.
You might want to keep one left and one right, but I don't think Dexter plays well over the center.
Okay.
I just think he's too big and he's too rangy. There's too much traffic in the middle there.
Okay.
Keep him out at the three technique, let him play both sides and feel what it's all about.
I like it. Okay. Mark's,
well, I mean, I don't know if I agree with it, but that's what they're talking about.
Mark's in Lincoln Park. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How are you today? Great show, as always.
Thank you.
I apologize. I was flying all day yesterday, so I'm catching up. Did you guys discuss all the maturations or permutations that can happen if Goodell comes down on Atlanta and that idiot Ryan Pace, who struck again, that if they lose the eight, what that would do for the Bears? Obviously, there wouldn't be an eighth pick, but the Bears would be
picking the eighth player. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Pace just strikes again. That's all I could say. How that guy has a job.
Well, I don't know. What is he doing down there? That can't be his fault.
Yeah, that's not
his. I mean, what's he doing down there? Isn't he getting lunch?
He's a coffee getter. That's what he's doing in Atlanta.
He's involved. But
let me blame him because I loathe him.
I love it. I love it.
Anyway, talk about some. You know, I know you want Roma Dunze. I know you want the receiver if he's there. But what happens if suddenly we're eight? When are we going to find this out? The next 24 hours?
First of all,
I think we find out.
Schefter's got a post out.
Okay. And Mark, thanks, buddy. It's good talking to you.
And this is real, right? That's real. Adam Schefter with the blue check mark.
Yeah, yep.
The league's reviewing a tampering allegation against the Falcons and the Eagles ongoing will not conclude this week.
Oh, will not conclude
will
this week.
Will not conclude this week. So both teams have been informed that it will not happen this week.
So it ain't happening.
It will probably affect the 2025 draft.
Oh.
This is April 23rd.
Well, that's crummy.
Today or yesterday? April 23rd?
Today's the 23rd.
Yeah, that's real. The today. NFL Network's reporting the same thing.
Oh.
At 11:41.
Well, Mark,
right
your hopes and dreams are
right
shot,
right before
buddy.
We got on the show today. Right before we got
I
on the show.
I did not see that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we were worried about listening to everything that Ryan Poles had to say.
Right.
Thrilled the nation with his misdirection.
It wasn't that much mystery.
It was meandering and misdirection. It wasn't anything that was going to take you to anything that we really wanted to know. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams, they're taking with the first pick, period. That's what they're doing. Everything else after that is a mystery. We don't know what they're going to do at nine. Whether they're going up, they're going down, we don't know. Right. We have no idea.
And they won't be taking the eighth player after all because, as Yurko just stumbled upon it, Adam Schefter and the NFL Network are now reporting that the league's investigation will not conclude.
Believe it or not, I used the Google machine. I didn't stumble upon anything. I investigated.
Okay, my
and
bad.
Upon my investigations, I had received some information which I then conveyed to you
my bad.
And our audience.
Thanks, apologize, Carmen.
I'm sorry, Yurko.
I mean, geez. I stumbled it upon, but
I didn't.
I mean, what am I?
You're
a
bumbling fool just over there. And then, he stumbled upon it.
He stumbled upon the crumbs.
Can't do anything. Look at him go.
Yurko's just a big, stupid jock.
Oh, look at him. An ex-player. Wow.
Now that we're talking about the draft.
That was not meant as an insult or in any pejorative way whatsoever.
I didn't take it that way.
Okay.
Join me at my draft party this Thursday at the Game Room, Chicago Athletic Association, 12 South Michigan. Join our good friends at Elijah Craig Street. Bourbon whiskey. We're gonna have a party.
Whiskey.
And a ball. Yeah,
it's gonna be great. Chocolate lettuce association's awesome.
You know how sometimes you just say stuff and there's just an underlying ugliness to it.
That is not true.
It was an underlying ugliness. Oh, the big fat guy just stumbled upon a donut again.
I don't know why I put it that way. But
I know
what
you did. You know why you did. It's the bias against me. You hate the jockocracy of the whole thing.
Against me.
Yeah, it's the jockocracy of it.
Oh, well, I'm glad you found the information. Good job by you. I'm glad you searched it out.
And I'm not offended.
Because I did not know that.
It takes more than that to offend me. Trust me.
Let's grab DJ real quick in Kansas City. What's up, DJ?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great, how are you?
DJ, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I have a question and a comment about moving up in the draft for Marvin Harrison. Great player, obviously talented. But do we know, are any of the projections out there having any of our competitors in the North or, I guess, in the Central, whatever our conference is now, taking Marvin? Harrison Jr.?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think
so. It's the NFC North.
I think it's if the team's going to go up like the Vikings, it's going to be for a quarterback, right. I think, TJ. Yeah, I don't
Vikings
I don't think
are below
so.
Us. Vikings are below us.
So are the Packers.
Packers are below us, and Detroit is way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think
and
anybody.
If the Vikings go in, it's going to be for a quarterback, right? Like if they go up into
I
the
believe
top
so.
10. Yeah,
yeah, if they go up, it's 11, or what is it, 11 and 23?
Yes.
11 and 23 into 3.
Yes.
Something like that.
Somebody was reporting a short while ago, and I don't know if it was an ESPN reporter, but maybe it was somebody in New York on the covering the Giants was reporting that there's some buzz that there's a lot of buzz and nonsense that's going on this time of year, though. It's hard to know what's true and what's not. What's
there's
fact
a shake
and what's
the
fiction.
Stick. There's
yeah,
a shake
the Giants
the stick.
Want McCarthy, and they might or Drake May, and they might go to 3, and you know who knows. It could get interesting Thursday night. One is a no-brainer. Two seems pretty locked in. Right?
Yeah.
Pretty locked in. After that, could be a free-for-all. If you want to talk draft with us, jump in at 312-332-3776. Stadium plans coming tomorrow. I want to talk about that. A thrilling night in the NBA. We're going to discuss that coming up. Jesse Rogers has a baseball update at 2. It's Carmen and York. We're back in 2 minutes.